As was announced, the scripture reading will be from the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verses 11 through 13. Ephesians 2, verses 11 through 13. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Therefore, remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ.
Certainly good to be in your presence once again. Just to say how grateful that my wife and I are to be in your presence, to have this invitation from the eldership to be with you. Simply ask that you just take your Bible and follow along to see what the things are taught are simply a thus saith the Lord, nothing more, nothing less. I will have to make mention of Don's introduction. He has stayed with us twice in our meetings there at Inglewood, and he mentioned my wife being a great host. Don, and she is, don't get me wrong, but we asked Don what he would like for breakfast, you know, and he said he would prefer a hot breakfast. And so Sandy, as she's so capable of doing, poured a bowl of Cheerios and milk and put it in the microwave. So, it's good to be with you. Listen, I want to speak this morning on a topic that benefits us all. I'm certain it is. And that's the subject of hope. Did you hear in that text reading that these Gentiles were in such a spiritual condition that they were without God and without hope? Do you know that the majority of the world is in that same condition today? How sad is that? I forgot how many billions of people compose the population of this earth. But it's fair to say that the majority of people on earth are without hope and without God. But here are you and I this morning. And hopefully our hope in God is where it needs to be. We want to focus on the Christian's hope this morning. But if you're under the sound of my voice and you're not a child of God, sadly, I suggest to you that you're in the same condition of those we spoke about a moment ago. You're without God and you're without hope. But you can change that. And that will be our efforts this morning. For those of us who have this hope, we want to strengthen that hope and be more pleasing to God. Listen, we live in a world that is just so full of heartache and hardships. We live in a world that is full of disease and death. That's reality. That's the world that we live in. But through our hope, we know there's a better world, don't we? Yes, there is a better world. And listen, sometimes because of this death and disease, sometimes, when the only thing we have is hope. But the saddest words perhaps we'll hear on earth is when the doctor tells us from a physical perspective, there is no hope. Now, from a physical perspective, those are terrible words to hear. But from the spiritual angle, to know that you have no hope, brothers and sisters, friends and neighbors, is far, far more dreadful. I would like to suggest to us, one and all, that the Scriptures has so much to say about this subject of hope. And I want us to look at some of those things this morning. Five quick points about hope in our lives today. First of all, let me ask you to do this. Think of something Think of something in your life that you have earnestly hoped for. Got it? Something that you have earnestly hoped for in your life. How'd that turn out? Was that hope fulfilled? Or was it diminished? And if it was diminished, how did you respond? Because what you had earnestly hoped for was diminished. Did you let it affect your hope for the future? Please don't do that. Please do not give up on hope because it diminished in this world. Because there is a better world coming where our eternal hope is going to benefit us throughout eternity. Remember that, if you will. Listen, let's notice the definition of hope. If I was to ask you, well, how do you define hope? Perhaps we'd get a various number of definitions, right? But maybe right off the top, it might come along something like this. Maybe through Mr. Webster's definition, that it is desire accompanied by expectation in fulfillment. Would you say that's a reasonable definition? Well, that seems to be a reasonable definition from Daniel Webster. But when we go back to the root of the word in its original language in the Greek in the New Testament, let's notice how Mr. Vine, W. Vine, defines it. He defines it like this: favorable and confident expectation. Favorable expectation and confident expectation. That would equal desire plus expectation. I love that definition. I like that. It's desire plus expectation. Hey, how about you? I desire to go to heaven. I expect to go to heaven. And I think each one of us should have that mindset about hope. Heaven is something I desire. Heaven is something I long for. Heaven is something I expect. Is that your hope this morning? I would hope it would be. All right? Along this line, listen, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 6, if you're taking notes, Hebrews chapter 6 at verse number 19, that our hope is an anchor for the soul. How about that? Hebrews 6, 19. Therefore, that anchor of hope gives us stability in the storms of life. We've all gone through some sort of storm in our life as a child of God. Well, what was the end result of that? Well, you're here, aren't you? That's a good thing. And so, as I said a moment ago, if that hope wasn't fulfilled right now, did you just bail out on God? Did you give up on God because what you had hoped for wasn't fulfilled? I say again, don't do that. Cling to God. Remember to keep your faith and trust and hope in God. Solomon would say it this way in Proverbs chapter 3, beginning at verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. Do you believe that? We got to believe that. Faith, hope, trust, they're all synonyms, if you will. They're all tied together when we try to please God. One of our songs says it this way. You don't want me to sing it solo, and I don't plan on it. But we have an anchor. Remember that one? We have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll, fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep. in the Savior's love. Amen. Aren't you thankful that we've got that hope? That Jesus said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. So we do. We have that anchor that Hebrews 6 at verse 19 speaks of. So this hope is essential to those of us as Christians. It sustains us through the difficulties and trials in our life that we all face from time to time. And until this fact resonates in our hearts, that my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness, we'll continue to go through the meanders of life and without any direction, but with hope. With hope, we find direction, don't we? We were a lost cause before we found hope. We had no direction in life until the gospel was delivered to us, and we responded to that gospel. Let's notice, secondly, well, let me get caught up here first, sorry. Let's notice the description of hope. In other words, let's look what hope offers us. Okay? Look what it offers us. We have, first of all, hope of salvation from sin. No wonder you want me to use this one, Matt. Yeah. We have hope of salvation from sin. I say again, before we came to Christ, we didn't have this hope. But now that we are in Christ, we have this hope. In your Bibles, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, turn with me there if you will. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, there at verse number 8. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, at verse number 8. Paul writes here to the church at Thessalonica, and he says this, "But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation." What do we have? The description of hope is this. We have a hope of salvation from sin. Luke records it this way in Acts 22. Where Paul is recounting his conversion on the road to Damascus back in chapter 9. Where he quotes Ananias who said, "Saul, why are you waiting? Arise, be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." Listen, this formerly Saul of Tarsus would eventually become the apostle Paul. And as the apostle, he now has hope. Whereas Saul of Tarsus, he had no hope. So again, we have hope of salvation from sin. It would be this very man who would call himself, label himself as the chiefest of sinners. So understand that even one who would classify himself as the chiefest of sinners can find hope in Jesus Christ. We have the hope of the resurrection. Back to the book of Acts, this time chapter 23. Acts 23, again, Luke records for us here at verse number 6. And he says this about hope. "But when Paul perceived that one part were Sadducees, the other part Pharisees, he cried out in the council, 'Men and brethren, I am a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee.'" Watch this. "Concerning the hope and resurrection of the dead," he says, "I'm being charged," or "I'm being judged." He's being judged because of the resurrection. I love the way Peter says it. When Peter speaks of the resurrection, there in 1 Peter chapter 1, at verse number 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living," what? "To a living hope." How, Peter? through the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead. Peter said it's a living hope. It's not a counterfeit hope. It's not a dead hope. Peter says it's a living hope. Brothers and sisters, do we understand what we have this morning? We have the hope of salvation from sin. We have the hope of the resurrection. We're all going to experience the resurrection. Which resurrection we experience depends on you and depends on me. In your Bibles, in John chapter 5, Jesus speaks of this resurrection. John chapter 5. And he speaks there at verse 28, if you will. Jesus says, "Do not marvel at this." He says, "For the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice." Now, what will those in the grave do? Look at verse 29. "And come forth." Do you see that? Now, watch the two resurrections here. "And shall come forth those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of damnation." So I say again, the type of resurrection we experience depends on us. And if we have hope in Christ, there's our resurrection that we read about. Thirdly, we have hope of eternal life. All these are connected. Obviously, you're picking up on that. But I'm just wanting to reinforce again the description of hope. Yeah, Titus chapter 1, there at verse 2, Titus 1. At verse 2, in hope, the first part of that, Titus says, in hope of eternal life. He's alluding to the statement made in verse 1. But we have hope of eternal life. Let me just throw this out again. Do you have hope of eternal life this morning? We should have hope of eternal life. All right? Look in Revelation 21. It's blocked out a little bit, but that's verse 4. Revelation 21, 4. How John speaks of it. Okay? Now, we're talking about hope of eternal life. In this life, what do we have? No, we have problems, don't we? We have trials. We have tribulations. And we have persecution in various forms. But wait a minute. There's hope. You got that, Matt? Matthew 21? Listen to verse 4. Listen to the hope.
"And God will wipe away every tear."
Did you hear that? What's God going to do? Hold it. God's going to wipe away how many tears? You know those tears you shed now? You will not be shedding anymore. Keep going. No more death. Do you fear dying? Hey, it may be okay to fear dying on the surface, but knowing where we're going, we're talking about eternal life. There'll be no more dying, no more death.
No more sorrow.
No more sorrow. Our life sometimes is just full of sorrow. Sometimes our plate is so full that there's nothing positive on our plate. It's all negative. It's all about sorrow. My family's a mess. They're headed to hell because of the choices that they've made in their life. Does that bring you sorrow? That brings you sorrow. But wait a minute, Matt. No more sorrow. What else? Raise your hand if you haven't cried over an issue in your life, be it your family, be it your job, be it whatever. You make the list. We have all cried. It's a universal language. We all cry. But we're going to a place because of our hope where there is no more crying. Anything else?
There shall be no more pain.
Anybody in here going through any pain right now? Physical pain? I've got a dear brother. He's my best friend at Englewood. We grew up together. We played Little League together. We got disconnected for 45 years. This is providence, I tell you. God brought us together. He's a Vietnam veteran. He got sprayed in the jungle with the Agent Orange thing. He's suffering now from that. He's on dialysis 3 times a week. The other 2 days, he's on chemotherapy. And he is a Barnabas, if there ever was a Barnabas. He is an encourager to everyone of us who are members at Inglewood, to every visitor who comes through the door. Claude Childers is right there greeting them. How you doing? It's nothing about Claude. It's all about everyone else. No more pain, no more sorrow. Because the former things have passed away. Why? Because you have hope. Got that? We got that? We got hope. Listen, I say these are all tying in together. Well, think about this. What about the hope of heaven? Colossians 1. Paul says it this way at verse number 5. Colossians 1 at verse 5. Paul says, Because of the hope which is laid up for you where? In heaven. Church, are we seeing the importance of hope this morning? It's laid up for us in heaven. Listen to how Peter says it there in 1 Peter 1 at verse 4. 1 Peter 1 at verse 4. He talks about heaven as an inheritance. He says to an inheritance, incorruptible. This inheritance is incorruptible. It's undefiled. That does, look at this, and that does not fade away. Watch this next part. Reserved in heaven for you. Reserved in heaven for you. Isn't this beautiful? This word of God, that His mercy, His compassion, His grace is so great that it is manifested to me, it's made known to me, and boy, can I draw comfort. Can I draw comfort? When my days are gray, when they're blue, when sorrow is overfilling my spirit, I cling to hope like this. Yeah. One day the hope of the Bible, if we remain faithful, is going to be a reality for us all. How great this truly, truly is. All right, so we're seeing all that hope offers us. Well, where does this hope come from? What's its source? Well, allow me to say that it starts with God. There, again, back in Titus 1 at verse 2, we alluded to it a moment ago. And it's here where Paul once again says, in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. Do you believe that God's faithful? You believe God's faithful. 1 Corinthians 10, 13. Paul would say there that there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common. But God is faithful. Your Bible says that. But God is faithful, who will not allow you, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will with that trial, will with that sorrow, will with that tribulation do what? He'll make a way of escape. Why? That you may be able to bear it. That's why. Oh, God is good. God is good all the time. All the time. I say God is good, and He's the source of this hope. Without God, the kind of hope which we speak about is not possible. It's not attainable without God. Romans chapter 3 at verse 4. Paul said, let God be true and every man a liar. Don't put your trust in man. Don't put your confidence in man. Man will let you down. Jeremiah 10:23. Oh, Lord, I know that it's not in man that walks to direct his own steps. Well, since man's not capable of directing his own steps, guess what man needs? Man needs a guide. The Word of God is that hope or that guide that man needs. Psalm 119:105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. It's a light unto my path. Our Word of God that we have access to guides us. It directs us. It leads us. It's our GPS, if you will, to heaven. Yeah. So think about that. Yeah, it begins with God. Listen, this hope is revealed in the gospel there in Colossians 1 at verse 23. Colossians 1:23. Paul says, if indeed you continue in the faith, did you hear that contingency? If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, did you hear that? Not wishy-washy, grounded and steadfast, all right? And are not moved away from the hope of the gospel. Think about that. From the hope of the gospel. Think about this. Which you have heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. 2,000 years ago when Paul wrote this, the Roman Empire composed about 2.2 million square miles. Did you hear what the Word of God said? It went to every creature under heaven at that time. The hope that is revealed in the gospel. Romans 12, that should be 2. Romans 12, 2. What we're reminded there, to not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. Why be transformed? Or how be transformed? He goes on to say, by the renewing of your mind. Why renew our mind? Well, keep reading, that we may prove what is that good and acceptable and what that perfect will of God is. You see? So if we don't conform to the world, listen, we've got hope. But if we conform to the world and we don't make that transformation with that renewing of the mind, see, we're not thinking like we used to think. We've got new direction. I'm not going where I used to go. I'm not talking like I used to talk. I'm not dressing like I used to dress. You know, just, again, make your list. Why? Because I've been transformed by the gospel. I've got a renewed mind thinking. Well, that's the power of the gospel. So that's the source of our hope. Let's look at it from our perspective as the possessors of hope. It's for those who are in Christ. 1 Thessalonians this time. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Verses 13 and 14, you're familiar with this passage. Paul says, but I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, those who have died, all right, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. Paul said to these Christians at Thessalonica, you don't have to sorrow like the world sorrows. The world don't have hope. They died without hope. Paul says, don't sorrow like that because you've got hope, all right? Yeah, because you've got hope. Let's go on. The next point. We enter Christ at baptism, don't we? In your Bibles there, another familiar passage is Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4. Paul says it this way. Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Do you hear the question Paul's asking there? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. When you put Christ on in baptism, you became a possessor of the hope of the Bible. Remember, you didn't have it prior to your baptism. You got to be in Christ to be a possessor of this hope. Galatians 3:27. Paul says, "For as many of you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ." See, so again, until we've been baptized into Christ, we don't have Christ. And when we don't have Christ, we don't have hope. Okay. But also, what about those whom Christ is in? Hey, we're in Christ, but wait a minute, is Christ in us? When you think, well, yeah. Well, I hope so. I hope Christ is in us. There's Colossians 1:27, but I want to use Galatians 2 for a moment. First, Galatians 2. Galatians 2 at verse 20. Listen to how Paul said it. Paul says, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me." Isn't that beautiful? "And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me." Is Christ living in you this morning? Do you portray Christ in your walk with God every day? I would hope so. Think about this. Christ enters us through our faithfulness. Again, I'm jumping ahead a little bit. In 1 John chapter 5 at verse 4, John says this. 1 John chapter 5 at verse number 4. "And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith." Faith, hope, trust, remember? Now, we sing that song. Faith is the what? Faith is the victory, isn't it? Yeah, it truly is. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. In other words, if we have no faith, again, we have no hope. Here's our last point. The obligation of the hopeful. In Romans chapter 12, at verse number 12, here's our obligation for those of us who are possessors of this hope. Paul said, "Rejoice in hope." Can I ask this question? As I ask it to myself, when was the last time you rejoiced in your hope? See, if we rejoice in something, isn't the typical response to be, "I'm going to share it. I got good news. I got to tell this to others." So I ask again, when was the last time I'd done that? When was the last time I shared my hope? 1 John 3, John says there at verse 3 that we purify ourselves in hope. We keep ourselves clean spiritually, right? Because why? Because of the hope that we have in Christ. We have to live a pure life, free as free can be of sin. We know it's a constant challenge. We defend our hope. Listen to Peter in 1 Peter 3, verse 15. Peter says there, "But sanctify yourself." How do you do that, first of all? Let's stop and just analyze that real quick. Sanctify yourself. And we say sanctify means to set apart. So we got to give God space in our life, right? We got to get away from the world, you know, when we can, and sanctify ourselves. He talks then about letting us give an answer to anyone who may ask you, watch this, the reason of hope that is within you with meekness and fear. You defend it. You give an answer. Some versions say defense. Some says answer. All right? So when people see this hope in us, they're going to inquire, what is it about you? You've got something. I can't put my finger on it, but you've got something, and I'm thinking I want it. So you give them a defense. You give them an answer of the hope that is within us. And then we preach our hope, don't we? We teach our hope. There in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 at verse 12, Paul says it this way. Verse 12, he says, therefore, since we have such hope, we use great boldness of speech. That ought to inspire us. That ought to give us the confidence that we need to confess Jesus, to tell people about our hope and what God has done for me. I've got boldness of speech because of this hope. Well, there's our 5 points this morning. You've been very kind in your attention. I appreciate that so much. But let's consider this as we close. Here's how you obtain that hope. You've got to believe the gospel. Paul said it that way in Romans 1:16, that I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it's the power of God unto salvation. All right? So you've got to believe in Jesus, John 8:24, unless you believe that I'm He, you're going to die in your sins. You've got to repent. You've got to turn from your life if you're outside of Christ. Acts 17:30, in the city of Athens, a city that was just given to idolatry, everywhere you looked, there was an idol. Paul's spirit was moved inside of him. And Paul would tell the Athenians, listen, at the time of this ignorance, God overlooked. But now he doesn't overlook it anymore. He says, but now all men must repent. All men must repent. Well, not only that, we have to confess faith in Christ. I know we use Matthew 10:32 and 33 there quite often, that if you'll confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father, which is in heaven. But if you deny me before men, Jesus said, I'll deny you before my Father, which is in heaven. But I want to suggest to you that confession doesn't stop there, just with a verbal confession. Because we all did that before we were baptized, right? I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We confess Christ in our daily walk. We're letting people know that we're Christians, that we're walking in the light as He is in the light. After I confess, what am I doing? I'm being immersed in water. Acts 8:37. That man from Ethiopia says they came to a certain water, and the man said, see, here's water. What prevents me? What hinders me from being baptized? And Paul said, if you want to, you may be. And he said, what? I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. They both got out of the chariot. They both went down into the water, and Paul baptized him. Remember that? And then you need to live a faithful life. You're born again. Think about that at baptism. You're starting to walk in newness of life. And as you walk in newness of life, there's some things that you have to keep doing to walk in that newness of life. Things like what Peter says there in 1 Peter 1 at verse 14, that your faith must be obedient. Things like Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, be unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, so that you know your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Listen, if you're here this morning, if we can assist you with a spiritual need, make those needs known while we sing the song, Brother Matt has chosen.